good to be with you. Well, I like this. These guys are right up front. Want to welcome you again today. Slight change in plans this morning. As you know, we've been working through the Christian life. We're going to take this morning, and I want to give at least some of the time, and maybe we'll see how much, but perhaps even the whole amount here, I want to give to Jean-Claude, who's with us, and I'll introduce here him in just a minute. We'll see, and I kind of gave him a blank check this morning in terms of whether he wants to take the whole amount or whether he just wants to take a certain amount of time, so I'll leave that up to him. So let us open this morning with a word of prayer, and then I will introduce Jean-Claude, and then I will turn the time over to him. So let's go before the Lord in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we come before you today in the name of Christ. We bow before you, and we thank you that you have provided for us a mediator, an advocate whereby we may indeed come into your very presence. Lord, we do not come brashly or in arrogance, but we would come, Lord, with true humility. We come with boldness, but Lord, we come knowing that you are the Lord of all and you are the King of kings. Lord, we know that we have no standing with you apart from the work, the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we can come before you not only here as a body, but Lord, we can come before you each day, and indeed all through the day, through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we have one high priest, and it is Christ. We thank you that our high priest is eternal and is the Lord of all. And we thank you and praise you for that great and wonderful truth. And we come before you today. We thank you, Lord, for the many ways in which you have blessed us through him. We thank you for the display of your grace from day to day in our lives as we think of not only the many spiritual blessings that we have, but Lord, also the way in which you provide for us materially. And we forget that sometimes in a land where we have so much and there is so much plenty, yet Lord, all these things are a measure of your kindness and your grace in our lives. And we pray, Father, that we would not live for the things that are here, but Lord, we pray that you would enable us by your grace to use them for the glory of God, to receive them with thanksgiving, and to be very quick to distribute to them who have need. We pray, Father, that you would bless us according to your grace today as we, again, study your word, and we want to thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us and pray that you bless our time this morning. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, let me introduce to you Jean-Claude Souillot. Is that right? Souillot. I can't pronounce French very well. I'm not very good with French. I like French fries, but that's kind of an inside joke. They give me a hard time for my like of French fries and ketchup. But at any rate, Jean-Claude is with us from France, and Ron and I met Jean-Claude last September, I think it was, that we determined, and he was through here, and we spent the better part of an afternoon with him and fellowship and learning a little bit about his ministry, and we found that to be a great blessing, and he came through again now, and we got together with him and spent some time with him, and we wanted to give him an opportunity to explain a little bit about his ministry and what he's involved in, and also then to share a little bit from the Word if he would like to do that. Let me just say a couple words, and then I'll let him say more about his ministry. But he is obviously from France, but he spends a lot of his time in Africa, in West Africa, Central Africa, where French, in the French-speaking countries in Africa. And he spends a lot of his time, again, preaching the gospel and working with the churches in those countries. Also has spent some time in Haiti and so forth. So he also, part of that ministry is publishing, translating and publishing works, good Christian works, into French for those pastors and for those people. And so just want to welcome him here this morning, and I'll let you come and share.
Thank you very much for this introduction. I'm always a little bashful, but you know, when people say so many things about you, so one important thing is that we're just servants. We don't have to have a title. As soon as the Lord touches the heart, we're on a mission because we've received so much from His graceful hand. And when somebody starts to pile the explanation of what you do, you say, well, I never realized I was doing that. But it is true. And I think the mark of a Christian. There are many ways we can describe a Christian, but one of the marks, and foundational marks, is that a Christian is somebody who says, why me? Why me? The wonder, the amazement of grace, that such a grace should be extended to anybody else I can understand, to a point. But to me, and you know, when if you're a Christian, if you cease to ask this question, why me, then you're in trouble. You're in trouble because nothing will distinguish you from the world. The world has got this spirit of entitlement. I know you talk a lot about this now in this country. Well, back home we've had that for a long time. But it comes, the world, sinners, men, women, children, think that before God, they're entitled to something. But we're not. Not at all. The only thing we're entitled to is a lost eternity in hell. And hell, we cannot even imagine what it's like. It's far worse than we think. But why me? And there's no answer to that, except that God wants it to be this way. Is it Deuteronomy 7:7? It says, I have loved you, Israel, not because you're the biggest or the best. You're the smallest, but just because I love you. And this is great, isn't it? So this is really the amazement. And the second amazing thing this morning was that how Pastor Dean was able to pronounce my name just with one little lesson. Well, if I can take just a few minutes, you will see why. Just to give you a French lesson. My name, now, if you need to write that on paper, you can. It's Souillot. Well, in English-speaking countries, you pronounce every letter. So by the time you've come to the fourth letter in my name, you've done. You just cannot pronounce it. But in French, many letters are only there to change the sound of another letter. So S at the beginning is quite easy to say, S. I'm sure you can all do it. Well, let's try. Can you say S? S. It's quite easy to do. Well, then there's O, U. Well, the U is only there to change the sound of the O. O, U in French is OU. It's quite easy. You try. OU. Yeah, you're doing not quite right, but pretty good. Another 150 years, you'll be okay. So it's S-O-U, Sue. Well, that's easy. But then you come to I-double-L. Well, that's difficult. Even my wife, who's English, she's been 40 years plus in France, this I-double-L for the frogs, you know, grenouille, she just cannot say it. The I-double-L is just like Y in English, Y. So it's quite easy. S-O-U-I-double-L, it's Sue. Okay, now, and then we'll jump over the last but one letter, which is O, go to the last letter. That's a big problem for English-speaking people, because in French, if the last letter is a consonant, you tend to think that you need to pronounce it. If it's a T, you say the T. Well, there's a good rule. If you think you should pronounce it, don't. And if you think you shouldn't pronounce it, do. So in this case, you probably think that you should do. Well, you don't. So that's one letter less. It's easier. So, you know, S-O-U-I-L-L, Suyo, and then the O, Suyo, and it's quite easy. Now, you can say it, can't you? It's not very loud, but it's pretty good. Well, I say that because I've seen my name murdered in the U.S. so many times. I remember arriving in Houston, Texas, and the brother was waiting for me at the airport. First question is, brother, how do you pronounce your name? So I said it. He said, oh, I've been announcing somebody else for 2 weeks now. But I'm very particular about that because this is a name I received from my father. And I'm very, very particular about it. Why? Because Suyo comes from a word or a root which in French means soiled, dirty. So this is the name I've received from my father, dirty. I've received something from my dad which actually is not very glorious, which is his nature. You see where I'm driving at now. Just to try to get to know each other a little bit. But so this name is very important to me because all the time it reminds me that actually I've got nothing to glory from what I've received from my father. Just sin. A sinful state. Not just acts, but a sinful state. So when I came into the world, that was just too late already. Sin was there. But now, by the grace of God, He has given me a new name. But if I believe his word, this new name I cannot tell you, because only the one who has it knows it. This is union with Christ. And this is the greatest privilege. If I stand here with you this morning, I don't know any of you, apart from three people here. It is just because the Lord has been gracious to me. I don't come with a label, title, or whatever. Just the fact that a sinner saved by grace. Something which it will take probably more than eternity to explain or understand. We think we understand, but we don't. So that was that. And the Lord was very gracious to me because I was born in France many years ago. Well, some years ago. And 61 years ago, 3 weeks ago. Just to be exact, for those who are good, sort of mathematically inclined, generally I see people say, how old is he? There you are, you have it. In France, it's a very godless country. Godless but religious. And generally the two go together. I was born in a Roman Catholic family and a practicing Roman Catholic family, which is very, very rare today. 98% of French people, probably less now because there's many Muslims, but let's say 98% of French people are Roman Catholics, nominal Roman Catholics. My parents were not. They were going to the Mass and to all the activities. For instance, by the time I was 18, that was the time of the hippies, you know, just to locate that. I had only missed Sunday Mass twice because of illness. Just to show that. And I'm very thankful of that. Why? Because of my parents being convicted Catholics. That sounds strange to say, but why? There's one thing French people fight with at the beginning of their life is the existence of God. Because they're taught. For instance, when you're 16 in France, you have to study Voltaire, Rousseau, and all these people. And these people tell you that God doesn't exist. So every French person will fight with the problem of the existence of God. Now, inside them, it's written and it's engraved that God exists, but they fight against it because they've been taught differently. Well, I didn't have this fight, you see. That was really a blessing. Also, the Lord led me to, and I believe He did, to devote my life to Him. I didn't have a life to devote to Him, but to respond to His sovereignty. Now, I didn't have a clue. For instance, when I was 16, so that's already getting old, isn't it? You don't dare say yes, but it is. When I was 16, now, preparing to become a priest already, once I was working in the children's camp, and the only place where you could be quiet in that children's camp was a chapel. No one would ever darken the door of that place. So I would go, just be quiet, have a little rest. And then suddenly, I knew that God was a living being. Now, I thought I'd been serving God all these years. And I was preparing to go into the priesthood or whatever. That's really strange. But anyway, and yet, suddenly, God is real. God is a living being. And, you know, already His grace was working. But I was faced with people who lived really on the Word of God. And to me, that was new. Because when you're a Roman Catholic, you don't need the Word of God. You don't need it. Somebody does it for you already. So at that time, I was really shaken by this. I went to see the man. I can't remember what he said. And I don't think he said a lot. But the fact that he could speak in front of his mates about a living relationship with Jesus Christ, how his life had been changed, that blew me. So I went to see him. He gave me a little New Testament, started to read this several chapters a day. And then later on, somebody gave me a whole Bible. Do you know, as an unbeliever, I started in Genesis, and I went right through the Old Testament, sometimes 10 chapters a day, just trying to find what it was. But not trying to find as a seeker. You know, I've always been a very mediocre person, in the sense that, I guess I was seeking, but not seeking. At the same time, I was following Gandhi and Hinduism, and that tells you the age it was at that time. But just having all these things together. And then suddenly I realized from the Word of God that in order to close in, or in order to really follow what the Word says, you have to surrender to Christ. I'm not using the right words, but these were the words which were in my mind at that time. And you know, you can't do that. I mean, other people can do it, they want to, but frankly, I mean, no. And it was a time when there was a slogan going around. I don't know if you had it in this country, but Jesus, the only way. Maybe if you were in the West Coast, you had that a bit more. Yeah, that kind of, you know, the Jesus movement, so-called. I'd say, well, no. Jesus is a way, but we're all going up the same mountain. You've heard that, you know. As far as I'm concerned, this way is just a little tattoo hard. I'll go another way into all this Eastern mysticism. And you know, but all the time, the Lord was pursuing me. And I rejected the whole thing. I created quite a lot of heartache in some people's lives. But the Lord was always there. And, you know, running away from God, I still had a strong belief in my heart, unconsciously, that in order to live a proper life, I needed a Christian wife. Now, I didn't want Christ, but a Christian wife. If you don't have any inconsistency in your life, you're probably not human. It's marvelous, because actually we're inconsistent, so we can touch people outside, because they are as well. But I needed that. And then that's when the Lord brought a young English lady, English Rose, into my life. And I had a problem. I mean, it was love at first sight. I proposed to marry her 2 days after we met. She took a little longer to reply. But you see, that day I had a problem, because I needed a Christian wife and she wasn't. So I remember going to this Catholic building, and they were still open in those days. People didn't steal them so much. I just went and I kneeled down and said, "Lord, I don't understand. Just take over," kind of thing. And you know, rejecting Christ, I was able to pray this. Weird. And yet that was it. Well, several months later, the Lord took me to my word. And this young lady, Wendy, became a Christian in France. English. She came to France, became a Christian. And I hated that. Because suddenly I was faced again with this Christ. And I certainly don't want him. He's asking too much. You know, okay, 75% if you want, but not a whole lot. You've been there, haven't you? I hope you have. Yeah, because, well, then you see, in Europe, we do a lot of exchanges. So she was converted in France, so we went to England then, and I was converted. So we did a kind of exchange. In 74, the Lord graciously just took me, and suddenly the preacher disappeared from the pulpit, and the Lord was speaking from His Word. And I just couldn't do anything else. And it was interesting the way it happened, but I won't take more time. But from that time on, generally I should say everything changed. Well, I wish I could say that. But, yeah, I was on a new path, which I discovered step after step, many mistakes. You know, the patience of God is something which overwhelms you, isn't it? He's patient. And he's got to be patient still more because it's a long way still. So he's been very patient, but all along he's taught me from his word. I was blessed to be converted, or I don't know how to say it really, but to come into union with Christ, or him coming, uniting me to himself in the church, which was really well taught. So straight away I was able to really delve into the Word of God. I loved reading. The Lord gave me a job which was 40 miles away. So I had an hour in the bus in the morning, an hour in the bus in the evening, just reading these books, Banner of Truth books, and all these. You're probably familiar with these names. And this is really what was my training for a good part. And several years later, being a Frenchman, I lived in England then, trying to learn English and English culture, or British culture. Yeah, it's dense over there. Then the Lord just worked in our heart, in my wife's heart, for much before me. What about the French? Because when you are going back on vacation, it was pathetic. I mean, generally, we were during the summer back in France. And most churches were so small that they were shut during the summer. Everybody had gone. Like, actually, it is at home today. Well, no, it is not today because we have visitors, so the church is bigger than usual. But so we had this longing to come back to France. And I was so touched by the richness of literature in English. I wanted to have that in French. So I wanted to translate and publish books. So we went back to France, and I got a job, and then started to look into ways to translate books, to have them published. Well, that was totally impossible, until I met a man who wanted to do the same thing. He had been a missionary pastor in France for many, many years, gone back to England, and he was leading one of the major Christian publishing company there with a missionary vision. So we met, and in 86, late 86, we started together to publish these books, linked with Evangelical Press, or EP books. I don't know if you know these. They're probably not as well known in this country, but people who want, it's a missionary vision to publish the gospel of free grace in Christ alone in the French-speaking world. Now, what does that mean? That means it's good news. So good news means that there's nothing of man in salvation, because that is not a good news, if there is anything of man. Because maybe I'm on my own, but I don't think I am. I mess things up. You give it to me, and I make a mess of it. So you give me salvation, I know what I'm going to do with it. Get glory to myself. Okay, I know, I can see I'm not on my own. So it's the good news of salvation in Christ alone. We cannot do anything. If you want to be saved, and you're not saved, just quit trying. Just go to Christ. And even going to Christ is the energy that the Spirit gives. So that was to publish this. And this is a message which you don't hear in the French-speaking world. Even in the religious French-speaking world, you don't hear it. As soon as you get in touch with Christians, now I'm generalizing, but hardly, unfortunately, then you have to do something. Now, for instance, the preacher will stand up and he'll spend the first part of his message, because he's got to preach the law. So he's telling you that actually you're dead, totally dead. And then sometime later, he'll say, give your life to Christ. Well, hang on, I'm dead. What kind of life can I give to Christ? Got no life to give to Christ. You see how the message is flawed right from the beginning? So with this colleague, Bill, we had, he was much older than me, we had this vision to publish this message, which is rooted in the Word of God. And that was much bigger than just the books. The books became just a means to do that. Now, it's kind of shop window. We can see it more, publishing of books. And the Lord has been very gracious. We've been able to bring out some 170 titles over the 26 years it's been going. So that was very gracious, very good. But there's also, there's more to it. But it's this vision of preaching Christ. And really, the thing is to declare this Christ, because we have this promise in the Word in John chapter 10. My sheep will hear my voice and they will follow me. Why? Because there's a union. I know my sheep know me. You see? So the work of the missionary, the work of the preacher is already cut out. Make the voice heard. Not try to build an empire or whatever. That is hard, because you have to compromise in order to get people. You can't build an empire without nobody in. So you've got to compromise. You've got to say what the right things and so on. This is terrible tyranny. But if you let the shepherd's voice be heard, it's pretty easy, because where is it heard? In the Bible. So you just dig into the Bible and you do that. And this is what we've been trying to do. I was involved more with the European French-speaking development of the operations. That involved more the books, translating the books. That was a big part. And my colleague Bill was involved more with the non-European. That is most of French-speaking Africa. And we're talking about 23 countries. The French-speaking world is about 200 million people officially, probably a bit more. So it's... I don't know if it's politically correct, but excuse me if it isn't. It's Black Africa. Northern Africa is Muslim. We can't go really there without endangering people. So it's more radio touch area there. But so we had the books. We had radio programs. Little Bible studies, 15 minutes. Again, from the Word of God, declaring, letting that voice be heard. And we just prepare this and put it over into the various radio stations available. At the moment, it's about 30 to 40 radio stations. I never count. I should count before I come over to the US. Doesn't matter. And so that the word is spread, people hear that voice. And you know, we're not trying to... this is something the Lord was good to give, impress on my mind. I'm not going to try to convert Africa. This is ridiculous. Because the gospel is not out for that. The gospel is out to touch those the Father has loved from everlasting. The others will be touched and reject. So whatever the gospel is sent for will be done. And sometimes it's very discouraging, but we have to remember that whatever God has purposed will be accomplished. This is a successful mission, even before the start. And it's wonderful. But so we've been involved, and in 1998, this brother of mine, Bill, was 20 years older than me. He passed away very suddenly, and it given me orders to try to get involved in Africa. And I looked into my schedule at that time, and the first time I could fly out to Africa was November 13th, and he passed away on November 8th. So we went to his funeral. Then I got on the plane, I was in Africa, first time. I'm glad I didn't know what I was letting myself in. I don't know if I would have gone. But it's been wonderful. And we were involved more with West Africa. So that's you know, the big bulge, which is east of Boston. I understand how Americans view geography, you see. No, it's that big bulge where you have Senegal and all these countries. So we were involved very much in Ivory Coast, which has been in the news about 2 years ago with civil war. That's on one side of Ghana. I mentioned Ghana because I know somebody's from Ghana here, so I've got to, you know, have a relationship there. Then I generally we jumped over Ghana because I speak English, and go to Togo. I don't know if you speak Ewe. Oh, okay, I know a few words, but you know, because the countries in West Africa are cut that way, and the languages go that way, so it's really weird. You're in the same country, you don't speak the same language, but you speak the same as next country. So we were in all these countries, and the Lord opened ways and touched the hearts of many people to the gospel of grace, to this fact that salvation is of the Lord from A to Z, or any letter you want to invent in between. And there's nothing of man. And he comes to his people. And also, during the contact we had, we realized that the Lord was calling men to stand up and feed his sheep, that is, lead his sheep, with the word. That is basically what it means. But there would be, in family situation, church situation, professional situation, didn't have time to take 2 years or 3 years out, go to a training institution and be trained. And beside that, where should we send them? Most of the institutions in French-speaking Africa were things teaching that the salvation is centered on man. So we can't send people there. Beside, if you take somebody, send him to a seminary or whatever you call it, for that time, he's away from home, away from the church, and so on. We could have taken them to Europe, but the temptation is too great to stay then. And we've lost somebody from Africa. So we put together a training course, preacher's course, for preachers. Somebody's called as a preacher to preach the word to God's people. Then we're going to spend some time with him, train him to be a biblical or a better preacher rooted in the Word of God. Some of you may be acquainted with Charles Spurgeon in the 19th century. Well, he had a pastoral school. So he had preachers and they would come. Well, we do that by correspondence, exactly the same thing. And the results have been quite amazing. At first, we did it just for a few friends we met. But many, many people, especially in Haiti, have joined the course. Some have finished, and I've seen some lives and some ministries transformed by that. And over the last 2.5 years, the Lord has opened doors into Central Africa. Now, Central Africa, you go away from the bulge, so you go further east, and you have places like Nigeria. You see where it's a fairly big country. Generally, it's in the news, so you'll see it on your screens, on TV screens. Well, we didn't go to Nigeria because, again, like Ghana, speak English. Some. But we went into Cameroon. Probably have heard of Cameroon. Cameroon, Congo, Gabon, all these. And 5 countries have opened in the last 2 years where I was able to go. For instance, just trying to put flesh on it. It's not just a missionary work. But we had this Grace Conference in Douala, Cameroon, every year. And people, these students on our course would say, why don't you come to Douala? We'll pay for the trip to come over by road. So some guys would come from Bangui, that's the next country, the capital, come to Douala. But flying, it takes just under an hour. For them, 5 days each way, plus all the hassle. I mean, every checkpoint, you need to lift some of these little images, which worth nothing, but to them it is. And, you know, it's really hard. But these guys came, and there was particularly one man, I'd say an older man, because he looked really old, but he was 2 years, at least 2 years younger than me, and he's blind. But he would come, and the others would take care of him. It was amazing. Well, the last time they came, about 3-4 years ago, when there was an increase in gas prices, it cost me a lot. And there were 5 of them. So I said, well, mates, it's the last time you come to Douala. And they were all sad. I said, no, don't be sad. I said, next time, I'll go to your place, be cheaper. And then, who knows? I love traveling, so that's good. So about 18 months ago, I went to Bangui first time. And through Air France, I could carry 2 cases, 50 pounds each. So as a good Frenchman, I had 2 cases, 55 pounds, because 56, you can't. You've got to pay. So that's a way. We are a little African in this way. That's where they learn. So I went with that. So one case was for my personal belongings, and then the other was books. 110 books in that case. I couldn't have put another page in the case. Actually, the case I left in Africa, it was so spoilt. The zip was broken, everything, when it arrived. And I stayed there 6 days. And the young man stood up and said, would you mind if I sell the books while you preach? I said, well, I can't do the two together. So I'll preach, you sell the books. And he got hooked on that. And he's been doing that for the last 2 years, or the last 18 months. Well, no, it'd be 2 years now. And in 6 days, he sold 90 of these 110 books. So I realized there's an open door there. And that made contacts, was able to preach there and make contacts. And then I was invited to an... there's 2 major seminaries in West, in French-speaking Africa. One is in Bangui, and they invited me to their international conference. Well, I'm French, so it's international straight away, you see. So I went. And just to show you the state of the thing of things, when we go into these places, I'm not trying to make myself special or what. Unfortunately, 4 days conference, the theme is leadership for a healthy church. They're very, very big on leadership in Africa. You want to gather people, talk about leadership. Leadership for a healthy church. Now, in 4 days, I was not there the first message, and I think the first message was good. But after that, I didn't hear, literally, I didn't hear once the word Christ pronounced, apart from when, my 2 interventions there. So just, you know, it's virgin territory. And so we were able to do that. And one of the messages was preaching there. They wanted me to lecture. I don't know the difference, but I preached from, is it Acts 16 or 17? I'm not very good for references. When Paul and Silas go to Berea, and I showed them, you know, what did the Jews do there? They searched the scriptures. And people were amazed that actually I believed that the authority was in the Word of God. They say, are you trying to tell us that the authority is not with the leadership? You see, the jungle, it's terrible. No, the authority. I said to them, you know sufficient, I mean, you know enough false teachers around you. And I said, oh, yes, we do. Well, then authority can't be with them. I said, never thought of that. So, no, it is in the Word. They had an apostle, a very busy apostle. I mean, our New Testament would be a lot thinner without him. And they had the Old Testament scriptures, the Old Covenant scriptures, and yet they searched the scriptures. That was the authority. So this is, and to stand in the pulpit in these places, you open the Word of God and you show them that you're going to speak from that book, period. It's already a message for them. It's amazing to be in places like this. I never thought myself as a pioneer. I'm not a bulldozer in that sense. I'm very fearful of things. I don't like bugs, you know, that kind of thing. I've learned to deal with that after 15 years. But to come to a place where the name of Christ, as he is in the Bible, has not been named for several generations, is very thrilling. Very thrilling. And, you know, you have people come. I was in Brazzaville, and 400-500 people, younger people, mid-20s to plus, there, gathering. And I was going to quote from the Bible extensively during that message. So I said, I hope you have got your weapons with you, knowing full well what was going to be the answer. So I said, hey, anybody's got a Bible? Show. Three Bibles. Now, they have the Bibles. It's not a lack of availability. But if you go to their meetings, it'd be stupid to take a Bible because you don't use that. So they didn't have a Bible. So again, that was a tremendous... I was so blessed and joyful at the same time as being sad, but joyful to be able to be there and preach the gospel as it is in Christ. And the Lord is touching men and women in that way. People who stand... you know, I'm not trying to make little clones of myself. Or people I can continue to direct and coach and... watch all the time. No, what I'm trying to do is to make the voice of the shepherd heard, knowing that he has a people. Otherwise, why would he waste all this money by me going all over the place to preach the gospel? He has people to reach. And once the Spirit does a work, you don't have to be there anymore. I mean, okay, there's space for teaching and so on, but basically, the life bubbles into eternal life, into everlasting life. And you don't have to fan it to a flame all the time. Yes, there's space to teach, but most of the time, it's a question of finding those whom the Lord has loved from everlasting, and then move on. So far, we've touched maybe 10 countries, in the French-speaking world, or French-speaking Africa in particular. There's another 10. If I take off the three in North Africa, there's another 10 to do. And years go by, so how long will I be able to do it? But you see, there's plenty of work to do. And the Lord has raised some great men and also some wonderful women. Sometimes you meet situations which are... strange. Now, I think I'm safe in saying that. I believe, personally, that those who teach in the church, so those who preach, are men. Even the word in the original in Timothy shows that it is a man and cannot be a woman. Well, my young colleague in Brazzaville, he started to sell the books and go around like this. And he was very encouraged. He said, I've got a lot of encouragements. So I said to him, well, why don't you put that on the sheet of paper? Send it to me so that I share it with others so that we're all encouraged together. So he did that. And the first encouragement, the first story, was very interesting. A preacher had started to see our books and the message in our books. That's the first contact generally. And hated that. Really wanted to do away with it. So, Europress, as the word is just mud, or toast, as you say. But that preacher realized that another preacher friend was preaching a different way in the last few months, and that preaching was really good, really something else, something different. So that preacher went to see the other preachers, how come? And the other one said, well, it's just these Europress books I'm reading. They open such a big vista. It's wonderful. Now I can preach in a different way. Well, that was an encouragement, wasn't it? But it was a strange encouragement because what I didn't say was that the first preacher is a lady preacher. The second preacher is a lady preacher too. So now how can I share this encouragement with others back in Europe, you see? Well, what am I going to do? Am I going to say, no, you can't preach because you're a lady and so on, which is what I believe? Well, what's going to happen there? They're going to start following a rule of men. Now, the Holy Spirit needs to teach these people. And he's going to do that with the Word of God. Now, I've got to be patient. Just show them. maybe one day, one of these will say, but what about these people who say only men can preach? Say, oh, now is the open door. But you can do it without destroying the person and bring the person along with the gospel. So you see, you have these situations, you say, what am I going to do? I've got an encouragement, which is weird. So the Lord has been really good, and as has been mentioned, I know this is all kind of all over the place, but that's me. I've been able to go to Haiti, which is kind of French-speaking. It's strange French, but it's there. And the Lord was very good in opening ways. I got in touch with some people who had a little shop, and suggested that, you know, if you want to sell the books, we'll be 50-50, great. So we opened a bookshop in central Port-au-Prince, the capital, in mid-December 2009. Now, that doesn't say anything to you, except that 3 weeks later, there was a major earthquake, and the whole area, especially that area in Delmas 31, was flattened. And I tell you, that morning when I got up and I heard the news, somebody from Pittsburgh phoned me and said, have you heard about Haiti? I hadn't. It was overnight for us. You can imagine my heart. Then I was there 6 months later. And yeah, sure, the whole area is full of rubbles. The house next to the shop is down. There's probably still bodies. There were still some bodies in there. The other house was down. The shop was up. The books had been thrown on the floor, and that's about it. They didn't even have to repaint the thing. And we had a container with 2 tons of books just arrived in the port a few days before the quake. Now, I don't know if you remember the pictures you've seen on TV. The earthquake ripped the port open in two. And most of the containers went in the water. Well, water and books don't marry too good. Well, wow, what's happening? Well, that container didn't go in the water. So that mid-February, late February, the men could open the bookshop again. And the guy sent me an email. He said, well, I'm very sorry. We were not able to do it before. I thought, well, you know, I was expecting that for a few years we wouldn't do it. And I was there in June, so 6 months later. And I spent 3 afternoons in the shop, and people were streaming in. Now, I don't believe in people say, oh, the Lord has sent an earthquake and people will come to us. No. There's no conversion by just providence like this. No, it's the work of the Spirit. So it's not just that because there's a quake, people fly to the gospel. No. God is doing something in many places, in Africa, in Haiti as well. And people who've been involved know that something is happening. The Lord is touching hearts like this. If He sends His gospel, it's for a purpose. And as I finish, it's been a really messy presentation. Anyway, at least I won't be able to glory in it. I just would invite you to pray for the work of the gospel. Now, I know that French-speaking Africa is a long way from. You probably will go back home and try to find a map to see where it is. Be great. But just pray that the Lord will touch His people, bring His people to union with Him through Christ, and that this voice of the shepherd will be heard more and more. We come to times where we don't know if we're going to be able to travel more. We seem to be able to travel for vacation, but some of these countries are closing down sometimes. I can't go to Ivory Coast anymore for various reasons. Especially being a Frenchman. And, you know, how long? But the gospel is the thing which must be there. So, as William Carey said to his friends back home in England, Nottingham, England, I used to walk every day in the place where that chapel was. He said, I'm ready to go down in the well if you hold a rope. Now, this is a challenge. Hold the rope. Thank you.
Well, thank you. It was a great blessing to hear. And truly, it is just a great joy to hear about how the Lord is working, and you know, to hear how you came to Christ, and then to hear how the Lord brought you along and is using you in a place like Africa. It's a great blessing. It's a great blessing to us, particularly because we can get so caught up in our little world here, and we forget that the Lord is working all over the world, and He works in the same way wherever He works. He works through the gospel and through the Word of God, and so we're thankful for your ministry, and thank you very much for sharing with us. It's a great blessing. Let's just close our time in prayer. Gracious Father, You are so good, and Lord, even as we heard here this morning, we are reminded that there's nothing for us to glory in but Christ. Lord, we don't deserve anything that You have given to us. We don't deserve Your grace. We don't deserve the fact that You have revealed Yourself to us through the Word of God, through the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't deserve the reception of the Holy Spirit. We don't deserve all these things. We think of the many promises You have given to us, Lord, in regard to eternity. We are co-heirs with Christ of all things. Lord, we cannot even begin to imagine the way in which You have showered Your goodness upon us. But, Lord, we thank You and we praise You. And we want to pray particularly, Lord, now this morning for Jean-Claude, and we pray that You would bless him as he continues to work. We pray that he would be encouraged, strengthened, pray that You would protect him and that You would use him according to Your grace in the lives of these pastors and these men and women. Give him great wisdom and discernment, Father, even in these kinds of situations that he mentioned. It's not always easy to determine what to do and what not to do and how to handle various situations. We just pray that You would grant him discernment, wisdom, clarity of mind, and pray that You would provide for all of his needs. And we just pray that You bless him and his wife and their ministry, and pray that Your hand would be upon them. And we pray now that You would truly bless us as we go into the worship service this morning, and pray that, again, You would be glorified and You would be exalted in everything that is said and done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.